Welcome this morning, folks. Music from 28 Days Later. Yeah.
Oh, God, this was a frightening movie.
Frightening movie. One of the greatest horror movies of all time. Which they got 28 weeks later. 28 weeks later wasn't bad either. I like 28 weeks later. It had a little of that. 28 weeks later had a little bit of that Iraq war metaphor thing.
They tried to make the ghouls. The ghouls were the Iraqis, brother. I can relate to that. No question about it. And those ghouls were as unrelenting as the insurgents in Baghdad, General Galen Shaw. Why aren't there vocals?
Well, there should be. Can I sing?
Go ahead.
When the ghoul came and the thing ran at me. This one here is laughing.
Well, Margaret, it is kind of funny.
No, it is not funny. No, turn it off. Margaret, turn it off.
Margaret, please.
Margaret, please. Phil, you're coming off a little effete like some butler with a pole. You're like some butler with a pole or a pipe parked. You'll excuse my language.
Jesus H. Christ.
All right, what do you want to say?
What I want to say is this. There are lyrics to 28 Days Later in the improvisational sense. Now, I know a lot of people that have been to our one-man show, the one that you did on the 5th. I do sing. I don't know if I'll even be at this one-man show, but I will tell you this much.
Wait a minute. Yes, you are going to be at this one-man show.
I don't think I've signed my contract yet.
Oh, okay, so go ahead.
Oh, what does that mean? Well, you'll sign. Don't worry. Is that what that means? Because my husband is a very hard-charging and a very bottom-line attorney. He's an entertainment attorney.
I know what he does, Margaret. What do you want to say about 28 Days Later?
What I want to say is this. The theme music to 28 Days Later lends itself to a very realistic reading of the music so that the lyrics can be sung by the person what sing.
You're confusing her, Phil.
Well, just let me do it.
All right, so this is Margaret's improvisational lyric to 28 Days Later.
Also, if he laughs, I'm not going to ask permission, Phil. I'll ask forgiveness when you walk over and you see what I've done to both bodies, but I will not.
All right, would you? No threats, okay?
She's threatening me. And if I laugh, that's involuntary.
Yeah, laughter's an involuntary reaction.
Is it involuntary? You know what else is involuntary? This fist, your face.
Hey! God, you just missed me!
Yeah, I missed you on purpose.
Sing your song, will you?
Get your hands off of me.
Margaret, as long as you're going to try leaping this table. And I thought you were going to start wearing pants.
You know what, Phil? I dress like a lady. If I have to vault the table and I put one leg up and you're looking up the skirt, you know what? Have a care.
Yeah, that's about right. Probably have to wear sunglasses. Hey!
Kick your ass.
Well,
what are you maneuvering your chair around for, General?
Well, you said that you're... Never mind.
Oh, my God, he's trying to get a peek.
Look at Margaret. What are you inviting it? If you're coming in here wearing a dress, may I ask a question?
No... Oh, and yes, I'm wearing underwear.
Thank you.
How dare you ask something like that?
I didn't. You responded to a question that wasn't asked.
You were conveying... Fuck.
All right, here comes Margaret Gray now.
But hold up. Don't say that.
Phil, when you say, here comes Margaret Gray, right after you said, there's no underwear, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Boy, you're right. Thank you very much. Wow. I should really be careful with that kind of stuff, you know.
What a sarcastic ass and a half. You know that? Not an ass. There's another half of an ass.
Yeah, there's three cheeks.
Technically, yes, three cheeks. I know you're laughing, but that's... All right.
Put the lyric sheet down, Margaret. You're not...
Don't ever grab anything out of my hands.
Especially if it's your own penis.
Oh, I'll kill it.
Hey!
I'll kill him.
You done?
No, I'm not half done with that. Especially if it's your penis. So in other words, what you're saying...
You know what he's saying. The guy's trying to bait you. Let's do the song. Margaret Gray, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to just roll the music. Margaret Gray with the improvisational lyrics to 28 Days Later.
May I have some water, please, and a small bit of tangerine juice strained?
Yes, ma'am.
Now listen to what you can do with a song. This is very dramatic. Oh, one day I was walking down the street, I saw a ghoul. Can we start all over? I've got the wrong key.
Jesus, Margaret, it sounds like you're straining.
It's the wrong key. Turn it down, for God. Yeah, it's the wrong key, Phil, so we have to start again, all right, bud?
Yeah, yes, ma'am.
All right, 1, 2, and a 1, 2, 3. A 1, 2, 3, 3, and 2. Pardon me, I'll just clear my throat here. One day I was walking down the street. Bill Fleming, the man who repairs my car. Fuck.
Parker, you're doing fine.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not doing fine. All right, let's start again, and let's do it from the top. Bill Benning. Oh, it's only a recording. I was going to...
You can't direct an orchestra that isn't there.
No kidding.
Yeah, I think you see that, Miss Henry.
Is that right? Is that why she said Bill Bennington? Could you please...
How do you know who Bill Bennington is? Maybe he's just someone that needs to go in and plunge the toilet, because Bud just used it.
But more like you just used it on account of toilet paper.
Shut your hole. Now, what do you mean, on account of the toilet? Don't you wipe?
Yeah, but I don't use half a roll.
What are you... You don't even know what... You know what, Bud? You know what? It's now comical. I don't even really want to tear your... I don't want to tear your face off anymore. I laugh at you.
Yeah.
All right.
Here we go. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Follow me, Bud, because I'm counting it down. A singer and a dancer. We need the rhythm. 1, 2, 1. Not yet.
Margaret, what is this? Some contest?
I'm counting it down.
I'm counting it... Don't bawl.
I'm very temperamental as an artist. And what are you looking at?
Margaret, I'm just looking at you. I just...
Just don't... And you?
I'm looking at you too, ma'am.
Don't stare at me like I'm a thing under glass. Excuse me. Water, please. Tangerine juice, not lemon juice.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Ah, sapphire.
That's got it. Ah. See how I flatted there?
Yes, that's very nice.
Very nice, Margaret.
It's not supposed to be nice. It's a flatting. It's a flatting. See, that's when the ghoul attacks. Well, never mind. You... Talking to you, I'm a volcano surrounded by ants. Here we go. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Phil?
Margaret Gray singing 28 Days Later.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. I'm Margaret Gray. Sometimes you'll be walking down the street. I saw Frank Jones. He's the guy who helps me fix my car. As we came up on the corner of 3rd and Blown, Frank jumped me and on my arm he gnawed. It's the ghoul attack. It's the ghoul. Get back! The rage virus is all over your crotch. I'm sorry about that, but now it's going into your brain. And the ghoul is... You get the general idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Kill the mute. Kill it, kill it. Now what's the problem?
No, I get the general idea, but that's not really improvising.
Oh, it's... Yes, it is.
Phil, that's improvising.
Oh, I know that, but I mean, I thought the improvising was more do-do-do-do-do, you know?
No. That's when we prep. When we improvise, we do the lyrics. Here, look at...
And you want to leave.
What is this garbage?
Turn that off, Bud. That's our pre-show role. Turn it off.
Yeah,
the ghoul. This isn't ghoul music.
Well, it could be.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, and go. This, ladies and gentlemen, is my interpretation of what I would consider lyrics that are fit for the ghoul attack in 28 Days Later. It's the ghoul. It's the ghoul. It's the goo 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 ghoul. Ghoul, 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 ghoul. The ghoul is coming out of the store. It's heading for your kid. It'll snatch him up, take him home. Next thing the kid,
next thing's the kid what?
It was a reference to defecation.
Jesus, you're talking about ghoul defecation.
I don't even think I think the problem with these ghouls, they're constipated. That's why they're running around.
Ha, ha, ha.
No, I'm very serious, so turn it off. Turn that putrid swill off. Thank you.
All right, well, Margaret, I will look forward to that at the one-man show.
I'm not doing that. Oh, you must have me mistaken for an asshole. I'm not doing 28 days. You must have me mistaken for a brainless idiot. I'm not doing 28 days later. No, 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 no.
You're not supposed to be doing an improvised.
Well, I'm not.
All right, fine. I thought that was the song.
No, I know the strong material for me. It's the one that I, 1, 2, 3, it's, which one did I do?
You did Delta Dawn.
Yes, I love Delta Dawn, what's the thing?
Margaret, I think you've got to really practice, your voice is very rough.
I know what I've got to do, General, don't worry about it.
It is, and you need to warm up a lot more than you do.
I know, what are you guys, all of a sudden, singing coaches? I know what to do.
Do I want to take another crack at it, Ms. Gray, because I think you flattered on a couple.
I'm not, would you turn that off?
I bet you flattered on a couple.
Where did I? And the ghoul. What about that? And the ghoul. And the ghoul, and the ghoul, and the female ghoul. The male ghoul, the field ghoul, male call.
The field ghoul?
Yes, you'll feel ghoul with a female ghoul. Fuck it. You know what, I'm wasting so much of my energy and my time.
Margaret, you think you're all that in a bag of pork, and a bag of a pork breast, or a bag...
Are you saying pork rinds?
Yeah, you think you're all that in a bag of pork rinds, but you need to practice like it, and I think what you did right there is substandard.
How dare you?
Well, you know, I do.
Margaret, I mean, it could be better.
What could be better about it?
First of all, you're in the wrong key. That key is too high for you. You have to either try a lower key, or you're just going to have to dispense with that song, because I don't think it's working.
You don't think... Well, thank you, Ed Sullivan. I'm so happy. What do you think? I'm one of the... You think I'm a tap-dancing troupe from Eastern...
No, I don't.
Marty, right here.
Thank you very much, bud. I've written it down here. The ghoul, the ghoul, the goo 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 ghoul.
Now, let me look at that. The ghoul, the ghoul. Hey...
You think I'm just someone that can be... thank you very much. We'll call your agent, one of those people.
Margaret, I'm saying I don't think I'm anybody other than who I am, which is a very flawed man, especially when it comes to talent, and I could very well be wrong, but I'm saying that the song comes in very, very slow. It comes in too high for you, but I didn't ask for that.
Yeah, just listen how it's flatting.
I know about her flatting, okay?
You know about my what?
It's singing flatting. You don't have to stick your chest out.
How dare you say that?
Well, that's what you did.
Yes, but no one saw it. We're on the radio.
No, we're on a smartphone.
We're on the smartphone, yes. And I think the ghoul will attack. I think the ghoul will attack. God damn
it. Yeah, no, it's too jacked up. It's too jacked up. All right, there's Margaret Gray. Thank you very much, Margaret, for that. Well done. Well, you know.
Well, yeah, sure.
Well, you've got some days to practice. I think you're going to be in tip-top shape by the time the show is up and running. Whether you want to do It's the Ghoul, It's the Ghoul, It's the Goo 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 Ghoul.
Oh, look at you trying to make fun of it.
Yeah, Phil, I mean...
I'm not making fun of anything. That's exactly what she said. All right, I got a group here called Elevit, The Call of the Mountains. This is one from the album Origins. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, online at philhendryshow.com, and on TuneIn. And by the way, we have chosen...
All right, that's Burley's, y'all.
You like Burley's, huh?
Well, I think it's a great place for guys that... What are you playing now?
This is a lot of the deathcore metal that Phil likes to play.
Oh, is that what that is? Could you turn it down? Because it's giving me a headache, and it makes it It feels as if the devil, a demon has snuck into my brain. Thank you.
Feels like what?
When you play that garbage, it feels like there's a demon that's crawled into my ear and is now going, it's inside the head, you know? And all I want to do is just, God, get out of my head. Get it out of my head.
That was a song once upon a time, I think.
Yeah, it's called Get It Out of My Head.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, which song was that?
I don't know.
Well, Phil, there was a song about Get It Out of My Head.
I don't know. There's a million songs about Get It Out of My Head. You know.
Well, I mean, which one?
I don't know, man. Aren't there a million songs like that?
Yeah, well, there could be, Phil. One of them could have been that song you just played. What was the name of that?
Called I Hate You.
That's the name of the song, or you were saying you're expressing yourself to be?
No, that's the name of the song. I Hate You.
All right, well, there you go. That's just like a demon. You know what? That whole band, I hate the name of that. So they're saying that to me, are they?
No, they're saying I hate you in a general, that maybe it's their parents. I doubt seriously if it's you, General.
Well, you know something? I don't like anybody saying that to me. What's the name of this group?
It's called Capture the Crown.
All right, to the Capture the Crown group, you know what? You can kiss my ass. You hate me. Anytime, anywhere, my friend. Your move.
Shit. Yeah, General, what is going on with you and everybody here? The week has been squirrely, but you are a little more aggressive.
I'm not aggressive. I feel fantastic. Some guy just said he hates me.
It's a band. It's the name of a song. It's not a...
Oh, no, I know you don't think it's personal. But let me tell you something, my friend. When they come out with something like that, they mean for that to go directly into your mind and to rot it. Immediately begin work on rotting your brain.
You know something, Phil? I think the General, in a way, has a point. Now, let me just clarify. No, they were not thinking of General Shaw when they wrote that song, but it is intended to be personal. When the group recorded that song, I Hate You, if you do take that personally, the band would probably say, well, you know what? Yes, you should.
All right. I mean, I don't know. I think even if they meant for us to take it personally, to get riled up about it.
Well, you're saying that I shouldn't get riled. You're telling me that I'm not supposed to get offended by that? Jesus H.
Yeah, sure.
Well, then that's my feeling, you know.
You wouldn't get offended by that, yeah. I'm sure you probably would.
All right, let me go to a phone call here from, we'll see, on the line we have here from Glendale. It is Vernon Dozier. Vernon, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. I'm listening to the General. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing. Vernon, how are you?
I'm listening to the General, and I can tell you that I agree with what he's saying, because I let me tell you something, Phil, I'm around the kids, you know.
Well, you hear the kids listening to this music. This is obviously music that would be embraced by a lot of the young boys or whatever.
What do you mean, young boys?
Yeah, Phil, the way you said that,
young men, is that better?
Well, you just said the young boys. I don't, I would say young males.
Well, there you go. Well, young males, they listen to this music?
Yeah, they do, and they hear that. And the guy goes, I hate you. And, of course, you're going to take that. Now, when you're a teacher, as I've been and as I am and as I will continue to be, and we've got another school year coming up. This is going to be our 31st year at Belmar Academy. It's going to be my 19th year coaching the boys varsity football and as well as girl varsity softball. And, of course, you know, Phil, we're now into year five of Vernon Dozier Stadium. And what that has meant to me has meant everything, and I do appreciate everyone at Belmar Academy for that, but I come to school and I see Vernon Dozier Stadium, and then I hear one of the kids out in the parking lot, and they got a song on. It's going, I hate you. And I'm thinking back on when I was a teen. Sure, I hated people. I hated a lot of people. But now I'm walking through them, and I hear, I hate you. So I turned around at one of these kids a couple of weeks ago, and I walked up to the side of the car. I said, does that mean me? And the kid looks at me and says, what? I said, does that mean me? Does that, I hate you, does that mean me? And the kid looks at me, and I guess he didn't think I saw the cigarette that was in his, the opposite ear, it was in his right ear, and his left side of his face was facing me. But he looked over at me, and I saw the cigarette. And he says something like, you know, he says, if you want it, you got it. Something like, they said, if you want it, you got it, pop. That's the part that I heard.
Well, that was insolent.
Yes.
Yeah, it absolutely was. I said, does that mean me? He said, what do you mean? And I said, does that mean me? He said, whatever you want, Pop. And what I did was I took the two fingers and I just squeezed his nose and pulled him out of the car. And I led him right up to Bob Pertigue's office, who is the dean of discipline at Belmar. But I led him all the way across the parking lot, all the way across the student quad, all the way down the hallway, waiting in Bill Pertigue's office till he got off the phone, and then led him into Bill Pertigue's office. Now, that is a journey of several hundred yards through a great many students, many teachers, and a few of the parents were there that day because there were parent-teacher meetings. And I did it all the way with his nose squeezed between these two fingers, the two knuckles. Just, you know.
No, like Mo Howard would do to Curly.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you know the Three Stooges?
Yeah, I know them.
Mo Howard would squeeze Curly's nose with the two...
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what I did. And all the way I'm saying, does that mean me? Does that mean me? And he's going, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Like that. I'm squeezing my nose together. He kept saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I said, does that mean me? Does that mean me?
All right. Well, at what point, Vernon, are you going to get a call from that kid's parents saying that was abusive and that...
No, hold the phone, Phil.
Well, wait, I mean, I'm not making a judgment. I just want to know, don't you think you're going to get a call from that kid's parents saying that was abusive? And that you were humiliating their son.
Well, okay, let's keep in mind, you know, he's playing that song, I Hate You, by that, what do you call that group that was Capture the Crown? I'm familiar with a lot of these groups.
Yeah, that was Capture the Crown with the song, I Hate You.
Right, and I heard that from the faculty parking area. I could hear it all the way over there. And I turned and I looked and I saw a silver Lexus. And I know who the kid was. It was the Parminger kid. And I won't give any other names because I don't want to embarrass the family. And I know the family. His father is a very prominent dentist in Glendale area.
Well, you just gave the last name, and you mentioned that his father is a dentist, so you've gone a long way toward identifying the father.
All right, Phil. You know what? I will just tell you that I know what I'm doing. Thank you for your advice, but I know what I'm doing. Now, I walked over, if I can continue.
Go ahead.
Jesus. Hey, you guys, 5 days a week you're with this guy, huh?
Boy, you ought to, let me tell you something, you ought to be in our shoes.
Well, it does get a little bit dicey, Vernon, there's no question.
Well, I don't know if I could. Anyway.
You know, you guys can talk to me like I'm here.
Well, fine, but Dickman's there, right?
Yeah, right here, Coach.
He talk to you like that?
Okay, Vernon, you can continue now with your story about the parking lot and not talking to my staff.
Fine, Jesus. Over to this guy, this Parminger kid, and you're right, I don't want to use last names. I didn't give his first name, and I'm not going to give his father's first name, although you have a little bit offended me, Phil. Phil?
Yeah, I'm here. What?
Why, you have offended me.
Well, I was afraid of that, Phil. The way you offended him, he may give out the name.
Let me say this to you, Vernon. It's your rear end. The lawsuit is your school's or yours.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, if the man wants to sue you for slandering.
Yeah, but he's going to sue you because I'm on the radio of I'm on the podcast of your radio, and you're not on my radio pod. I'm on yours, partner.
Yeah.
And so he can sue you.
All right. So let's just clear this whole thing up, and let's just not mention any more names. Is that okay?
Well, I already mentioned the last name, Parminger.
Yeah, yes, and that'll be the third time. So why don't you just stop now and not mention any more names? We already know that this kid was playing the song I Hate You by Capture the Crown. You walked over from the faculty parking lot over to his car. You looked in and you asked him, does that mean me?
Right. I asked him, does that mean me? Does that mean me? Twice. He turned to his left, which was the left side of his face. That's what I'm looking at. It was that one of those typically teenage quizzical looks like, huh? Well, what are you talking about? And I said, does that mean me? I hate you. Now as he turned again to the left, like he thought he'd blown me off and gotten rid of me, right? And I said, does that mean me? When he turned again, I saw the cigarette there in the right ear. And he said, whatever you need, Pop, something like that. And I said, yeah. I just went for the nose, pulled him out of the car. And this was the most satisfying moment for me because he had virtually had about 2 minutes that belonged to him. As he humiliated me, and his friends stood there going, ha, 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 ha. And I got to tell you, those are the days you begin to fantasize what you'd do if they allowed you. You know what I mean, Phil? If they allowed you to do things, the fun you'd have with the, just bringing the heartache, but I guess, you know.
All right, you and I can disagree on that.
Excuse me, Mr. Henry, but you're sitting there criticizing me, and I just heard you going, I don't think you have the right nor do I think I have the right to do that and then criticize another man.
All right, that's fine. But what I'm saying is, whatever it is that you were fantasizing about does not matter. Let's continue on with the discussion here. Now you got the kid by the nose.
Right, and the fantasy, by the way, had to do with me beating these kids almost to death. It had nothing to do with sex.
I didn't say it had anything to do with sex. You're the guy that's digging the hole here.
No, I'm just clarifying things. All right.
Gentlemen, if I might, you're really way off base here.
Now, you guys got to get back to what it is you're talking about.
All right, fine.
Just tell the story. So you got the kid by the nose.
I got him by the nose. And this was the satisfying part, because he's going, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say it. And I squeezed the nose even tighter as I pulled him through the parking lot to the laughter and the abuse and the lampooning and everything of all the fellow students as they watched him.
I'm sorry.
So that was almost the price of admission. Didn't quite make up for the humiliation of having some punk look at me with a cigarette in his ear as he's going through the Wall Street Journal. He's sitting there reading the Wall Street Journal as he's listening to this song. So the whole effect of that pissed me off.
Yeah, this is General Shaw, Vernon. I believe I said good morning to you already.
Yes, you did.
Now, you walked up to the car, the kid's reading the Wall Street Journal. So how much of this had to do with the fact that his father is a prominent dentist? Obviously, the man has money. The kid's an Lexus. He's reading the Wall Street Journal. And he's acting for all the world like he's a young executive. And there you are on some lousy teacher's salary, walking over from whatever it is you drive.
Well, I can tell you what I drive. I'm very proud of it, but I do drive an extended cab Dodge truck. And it's a good car, and I like it, and I take my wife out in it. But, you know, I've got a 27-year-old wife. That's why I don't bring her around to school, because one of these punks in his daddy's Lexus, reading the Wall Street Journal. I don't need it. So, yeah, you're right. You didn't have to bring it up here, but...
Well, no. I only bring it up as this is what caused you to get angry.
Well, what were you... You weren't jealous of this boy.
I was not jealous. Jealous of what? Jealous of the fact he's a lousy, creepy, crawly punk kid? No, I'm jealous of the fact that he's got parents that have the legal right to almost beat him to death, and I don't. So all I could do is grab him by the nose.
By the way, his parents do not have the legal right to almost beat him to death. I'm assuming that means put him in the hospital. No, they don't.
Well, all right, Phil, but you know what? I don't butt into the affairs of other families like perhaps you do. I don't butt in, all right? So this guy with his big mouth, I got a hold of...
I'm not butting in. I'm just saying that his parents don't have that legal right.
All right, they may not have the legal right, but I'm not going to do what you're doing, which is to butt in. Butt in, right?
Yeah, I hear you.
All right, I mean, I learned a long time ago that other people's affairs are other people's affairs. I don't stand around and go, hey, why don't you this and that, and just butt in to what they're saying.
Well, Vernon, no one is saying that is right, no. And I would never butt into how a parent is disciplining a child at all. But I agree with Phil. These parents do not have that right to put this boy in the hospital.
All right, fine, great. I'm saying I agree with you. But I'm not going to go up to the window.
I know, what do you mean go up to the window?
Because that's the kind of thing that a guy like you and a lot of these other parents will do. They'll sneak around a guy's yard at about 8 o'clock at night, and right after dinner's done, when the father and the mother are so tired they can't stand it any longer, and the kid starts to again, that's when the real hell breaks out in the house. And you see a father or a mother chasing the kid around, and they're holding either a belt or a wooden spoon or something. And I don't know what's going to happen, and I'm not saying they're going to be abusive. I'm just saying that's none of my business. But you, Henry, would be looking through the bedroom window at 8 o'clock at night and going, hey, don't do that, and you'd be butting in. And I don't believe that that is the way to go.
Well, I can assure you, Coach, that what you just said there has no relation to any way that I would behave.
Oh, Phil.
No, Phil. That has no relation to any way that I would behave. I don't know anybody that would. And anybody that was lurking around someone else's house in the middle of the night peeking in a bedroom window. What do you mean a bedroom window?
If they ran by the bedroom, aren't you going to be following to see where the parents going?
Am I outside the house?
I don't know. Where are you? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the scenario that you just set up here where I'm peeking in some window at someone's house. It's after dinner, and they're chasing the kid around with a belt or a spoon.
Right. That's right. So you're going from window to window. You're following the action. And finally, you arrive at the bedroom window. because they happen to be running down the hall past the bedroom window, and that's about where you're going to butt in. And the whole butting in, God damn it, I...
What is it with you and this word butt in, man? I thought you'd finally reached the heights of insanity with mama. Man.
Oh, so now you're making fun. Oh, God.
You know, Phil, there's some people here that have experience as parents for a length. You were a stepfather, but this is, we're talking about the blood relations.
Yeah, and for you to say that I, man.
Look, Vernon, you can be any man that you want, but I'm allowed to comment. This is free speech, and I've heard you say he needs his mama, and now tonight we're getting butt in.
Well, he's laughing now.
Yeah, no, I heard it. I'm making note of that. Dickman?
Yeah, I'm making a mental note of it.
No, don't make a mental note. Write it down.
Don't write anything down. You work for me. You don't work for Coach Dozier.
Yeah, but I was trying to make a note of it the other way. You wouldn't let me.
I don't want you making a note of anything. I don't want you writing anything down. Guess what? The show is on tape. The show is being recorded digitally. We can go back and listen to it later. Oh, my God.
Oh, you know, that is true. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I forgot about that, too. All right, you got me there, Phil. That's one. That's me four, Phil one. I think, no, me five.
No, I think you're about, Vernon, it's Coach Dozier seven, Phil one.
Yeah, okay, I'll take that.
Coach Dozier 7, Phil, when did he score 7?
Are you kidding me, Phil? He's been landing shots left and right, body shots, shots to the head. By the score, my scorecard shows it 7-1 Dozier.
Yeah. All right, Coach, you know I respect you.
Well, I know you respect me, but I wish you'd get on the ball here, Phil. The things that I'm saying and the things that I'm doing and what I need and what I don't need, you gotta hear it my way, man. You gotta look at it my way. And for these parents out there who don't back me up, but this kid is not going to sit there and apply it. I think a lot of this music is very much like that. You have that, I hate you. And then this other thing here, a lot of the hip-hop songs today, as I was going to mention, because you were bringing this up, they talk about having money.
A lot of them do, yeah.
Yeah, they talk about being rich. And they talk about, I'm caked out and this and that. And I tell you, man, that burns, okay? That burns me to hear some guy talking, hey, I got this, that, and something else, and I got a big thing, you know, he's talking about, you know, the penis and everything, and that's fine, because I know that they're very childish.
Can we clean this up a little bit?
It's good. Hold on, Mark. It's cleaned up, but I'm saying, I'm going to school. I work at Subway in the summertime. I got to put on a paper hat here in about 2 hours to go over to Subway. You know that, don't you?
I didn't know that you were still working there.
Are you kidding me, Coach? You're still over at Subway?
Yes, I am. And I'm not going to say which Subway, because I don't need anybody coming and going, hey, where's Coach Dozier? Yo, Coach, go ahead and slather on that mayo. Yeah. I had a guy do that last summer, you know.
Well, look at Coach. I've told the crew and the staff not to let out which Subway you work at, all right? So we have not said anything about it.
Well, no, I didn't say anything, but he was talking about Glendale.
I live in Glendale, but I don't work at the Glendale Subway.
Are you work at the one in Toluca Lake?
Yes. God damn you. God damn.
Well, what are you looking at me for?
He didn't want it mentioned where he works for.
Yeah, now I bet you gotta come in there, say, where's the guy with a paper hat?
Well, they all wear paper hats, so they won't know which one it is.
They're gonna be asking for Coach Dozier.
Who are you talking about, anyway?
I'm talking about his students. I'm talking about the kids that are gonna go in there. I'm sure a lot of them like the coach, but some of them may be wanting to bug him and everything.
He doesn't like, because a lot of the students go into the Subway in the summertime and they go, Coach, make me this, make me that. Yeah, that's right. Slather on that mayo. That's right. Give it to me. That kind of thing.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. And he gets very, very upset with the whole having to slather the mayo on thing. So, Coach, I apologize. Honest to God, I do. Maybe they can transfer you to another Subway.
Well, I wouldn't just see now. That's really going to piss him off.
Well, why are you still working at Coach, if you're out there listening? Why are you still working at the Subway? Why don't you quit?
Because he needs the money, Phil. That now you've doubly pissed him off.
Is that him?
Yeah, it's Coach Dozier. Yeah, you get right here.
And the other thing, too, Phil.
All right, hold on. I didn't hear all of that. Say it again.
I said, now that you've told everybody which Subway I work at, and now that you told everybody that I'm broke, why don't you just get into the other thing, too?
What other thing?
Oh, so you haven't heard the other thing?
No.
Well, thank God. At least there's some secrets. Thank God.
Like, the fact you got a strangled testicle?
Oh, God, you asshole. Jesus.
What do you mean a strangled testicle?
He fell off a beam or something and landed cross. He landed spread eagle on a 2x4.
He was working on that project, that cabin that he's building.
Yeah.
He fell off a beam and went and hit the beam below spread eagle. So they said they had some kind of a strangled testicle or something.
Well, what does that mean?
I don't. It means he's just got to put ice on it or something. I don't know.
Dickman.
Why didn't you do anything? Said not to say anything.
And you did say something.
Well, but I wanted to know what he was referring to.
You know something, Dickman? Stupid doesn't even begin to really describe. You're so dumb, you could burn a whole city down, and you'd be standing there with the match, and you'd say, what happened?
What? I don't even understand that.
I said, you're so dumb, you could burn an entire city down, you'd be standing there with the match, and you'd say, what happened?
What?
Oh, gee. You could burn.
Well, you never mind. You know exactly what he's saying.
No, I really don't.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
No.
Yes, you do. Don't say another word. Yes, you do.
You try to piss me off, Dickman, it won't work.
All right. Okay, yes, I do.
All right. Because I'm telling you, man, you are cruising for the bruising, my brother. All right, sports fans, the Saturday show here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our Saturday show for our BSPs only, has been brought to you by our good friends there at Burley's with the, what is it, General?
Well, they've got the derby hat, the string tie, and the bow ties, for Christ's sake. And the other thing that they've got is the partition that you can try on the bow tie and the string tie, and you can do that, and when you do it, and then you go and you do it, see?
Yeah, okay.
Well, what you mean is you can, and no one laughs at you from the street.
Yeah, no one's going to laugh at you from the street.
All right, let's see, what else I want to tell you guys? Oh, yeah, there is a brand new Mastro Steakhouse that just opened up on PCH. I think we might roll over there tonight to take it in.
Now, where is this?
It's on Pacific Coast Highway.
Mastro's is a marvelous steakhouse. Now, we were talking today about Mastro's, about Ruth's Chris, and about Morton's. Which is your favorite?
I would say of those three, Morton's.
All right, and then what's second?
Second would be Mastro's, and Ruth's Chris, with all great respect due to Ruth's Chris, they have,
What are you trying to say? Ruth's Chris isn't the end-all be-all?
Ruth's Chris is slipped a little. They're almost like a franchise now. They're almost that. I'm not saying they're Sizzler.
Oh, my God. You're talking about Ruth's Chris? That's the classiest place there is.
All right, bud, fine. You know, it's just, you asked me to rank them three, one through three. The number one for me is Morton's, then Mastro's, then comes Ruth's Chris. Now, of course, I haven't said anything about Ted's of Beverly Hills, and the reason I haven't said anything about Ted's of Beverly Hills is because it is a cut above. It is in a class by itself. You don't judge Ted's of Beverly Hills just against the other steakhouses. No, 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 no. You don't judge it that way. You judge Ted's of Beverly Hills on its own, my friends. Oh, look at this. Here's Ted Bell.
Steakhouse.
All right, hold on. Yeah, this is Ted Bell, and if you think I buy that line of bullcrap from Phil Hendry, let me tell you something. Speaking of a strangled testicle, I've got three testicles so I can give the coach one to spare. What a liar. You know you're a liar, Hendry.
All right, Ted Bell joins us, and I wanted to explain, Ted, what I meant by ranking those. Turn that down, bud, if you don't mind. I wanted to explain what I meant by ranking those so that you would know that I'm not trying to be a smartass.
And then I want you to...
Hey, Ted? What? Hey, Ted?
Wait, I'm not here. No, I don't want any Mexicans not parking cars here, no.
Ted!
Henry thinks he's a smartass.
Would you find out what's going... Hang up on him.
Yeah.
Find out what's going on.
I know what's going on. He doesn't want to talk to you because you disrespected his steakhouse.
That is true, Phil.
Whoa, hold the phone here. Didn't you guys give me the three choices?
No, you said you were talking today with friends about the top three steakhouses.
Wait. I said I was talking to my friends about three steakhouses.
No, the top three steakhouses. I heard you... I think, Jim General, didn't you hear that?
Yes, I did, Phil.
And you did not include in those top three steakhouses Ted's of Beverly Hills. Yeah, all right.
Is this him?
Yeah, I got him back now.
Steakhouse. Yeah. Come on down.
Biggest asshole in the world. The biggest, I said the biggest asshole on earth. Bill Hendry, yeah.
Hey, Ted, you know, all right, turn it off. Turn it off. Turn it off, bud.
Well, I got to give him this commercial.
Put in your mouth.
Hey, Ted Bell here.
But what happened? Call him back.
You said to hang up on him.
Call him back, man.
Yeah, Phil, you got to get your act together a little bit.
My act is together. Call him back, bud.
I am. Yeah, Ted. Yeah, I hung up by mistake. Sorry, Mr. Bell. Sorry, Mr. Bell. You're not Mr. Bell? Oh, yeah. Is this Valley? Yeah, let me have Ted Bell.
Boy, you are dumb, man.
Hold on. Is this Ted? Mr. Bell? Why do you sound Mexican? I know it's... I'm sorry, sir. Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought it was you.
Hello to this guy.
Ted's a Beverly
Hills. I'll tell you something else.
Steakhouse. Come on down.
Yeah, come on down to Ted's Beverly Hills. I don't have a Hispanic accent, although I'd be proud to have a Hispanic accent, but I don't. So when I answer the phone and I sound to you like I'm Hispanic, I don't park cars. God damn it.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
All right. Tell me why I shouldn't cancel my advertising.
Okay, Ted, if you'll just hear me out.
No, I'm listening. I'm that interested for about 2 minutes.
All right, fine. Today, when I was talking to a friend of mine, they said, of these three steakhouses, how do you rank them?
No, that's not what I heard. I thought I heard you say the top three steakhouses.
That's what I thought I heard as well, Ted.
Well, thank you very much, Margaret.
I am speaking truth.
You know something? I can't be for sure, Ted, what Phil said, but I would take his word for it as a gentleman.
Oh, you take his word for it as a gentleman. That's nice. Unfortunately, General, you're not in business. You're not. You don't own my steakhouse. You don't know what I got to do. You don't know the things I got to go through, the people I got to see, the stuff that I've got to put up with. Okay? Look, right on the screen there, I'm looking at Phil TV right now. There he is, that Clive Bundy. He says that I raped him. I don't buy beef from that slob. I wouldn't buy beef from Clive Bundy because I want my customers to live. To live. All right, Clive, if you're out there, so don't tell people that you sell your beef to me. I wouldn't buy beef from you if I needed milk cows. And if they were steers and I needed milk cows, well, of course, then I wouldn't buy my beef from you. But let's say that they were the best milk cows on earth. I don't even sell milk. So let's say...
Okay, fine. So that's your beef with Ted Bundy, if you'll pardon the expression.
My beef with Ted Bundy?
I mean Clive Bundy.
At least you didn't say Clive Bunker, huh?
Okay, so I said that, you know, she said rank the top three, top...
There, you just said it. Rank the top three. Thank you very much.
So is that what she said?
What she said was rank the top three steakhouses. Is it Morton's? And then gave me the selection. And I just, I don't know why, but I didn't hear the top three one. I thought all that was said was rank of these three steakhouses.
Well, the fact is that you missed them saying the top three.
Yes.
Man, don't they do call back and apologize to the guy?
Yeah, sir, I think that's the best thing to do.
I don't know. Why do I think that Ted's not going to accept my apologies?
I think he will. It sounds like they're very busy. Sounds like they're vacuuming in there and getting it prepared for this evening.
Call him back.
All right. Yeah. Ted Bell, please. Phil Henry Show. Bud Dickman. How you doing, buddy? Is your brother still selling that Chevy?
Bud.
Sorry. Yeah. Ted?
Yeah, what do you want?
Ted, you're right. As it turns out, what was said to me was the following thing. Rank these top three steakhouses, and then the steakhouses were mentioned. And I did not hear these three, I didn't hear the top three. I just heard someone say, rank these steakhouses. I didn't hear the top three. But you're right, that is very, very possible, and that's most likely what was said. Had I heard that, had it registered with me, I certainly would have brought your steakhouse up as being number one.
Well, you know, Phil, it sounds good. But you give me a lot of static. Your listeners give me a lot of static. I've gotten a lot of static from you over the years. You know, I'm fighting for my survival here. We got the Hong Kong Charlie. I got what I call the Hong Kong flu, Hong Kong Charlie down the street, okay? Brand new Chinese restaurant down the street. This guy's undercutting me on the prices, the family fare, all that stuff. And every day of my life is a new adventure in horror. Horror. because somebody is trying to cut the legs out from underneath me. Now a guy that I not only consider to be a good guy to be in business with, but yes, Phil, I even consider you to be a friend. Now you tell me that the top three steakhouses in all Morton's Steakhouse. Are you kidding me? I wouldn't feed my cat food from Morton's. And then you go to the what you call second place is Mastro's. Oh! You know that those guys are in town here.
There's a Mastro's in Beverly Hills, yeah.
Okay, well, great. Well, thanks for giving the location and the name and everything.
Well, you mentioned them.
Right. And then you have Ruth's Chris. I agree with you. Ruth's Chris, only I disagree with one thing. Ruth's Chris is not just a cut above Sizzler. Ruth's Chris is Sizzler. It is the Sizzler of so-called fine steakhouses, okay? Ted's of Beverly Hills wipes with Ruth's Chris.
All right, now, Ted.
Whoa, hold on. I want you to hear it, and I want you to luxuriate in it, and I want you to love it. Ted's of Beverly Hills wipes with Ruth's Chris. That's number one. Number two, we shake off and wipe with Morton's.
Ted.
And number three, we take, what was the other one? Mastro's. Mastro's, were we a feminine or female restaurant, we'd use Mastro's as a sanitary napkin. Bud Dickman.
Yeah! Woo!
Bud, you noticed that Bud is in the studio. He's over here.
Yeah, what happened to Bud?
He drove over there to Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Came over here, Mr. Henry, with a box of chocolates and some flowers. Miss Gray thought it'd be a good idea.
I gave him my charge card to get some flowers and chocolates.
Well, it's a very thoughtful thing, Margaret. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much, Margaret. I didn't even think about that.
And here's the chocolates, Mr. Bell, on behalf of the Phil Henry Show. And wait, the chocolates have been opened, and there's about four or five missing. Did you eat them?
Yes, sir, I did.
What is it with you?
I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, but...
I asked him to get you. What did he do?
The box has been opened. I don't want these. I can't... Why not? You've had your fingers and your mouth in there. I'm not going to...
I did bite one and put it back.
Oh, jeez. Well, he opened up the box of chocolates.
Bud, what kind of an animal are you?
I'm sorry, I got hungry.
I don't care if you got hungry. Those chocolates were for Mr. Bell.
All I did was I opened up the box, and
hold on.
There's four or five that are missing. There's one that's half eaten. Ah, Jesus, and it's still got the tooth marks in it.
Well, you can have that one.
Oh, can I have that one? Let me ask you something, Bud. Were you born? Were you hatched? Did you spend the first few months of your life in a pouch? I just need to know. Do you feel that you may be of marsupial blood? You see what I'm trying to say?
Okay, thank you very much, Ted.
Well, tell your man to...
Bud, come on back here, okay?
All right. You want these chocolates? No, I don't want them. You can have them. Have Jesus. Ask him when he gets back there, Phil. Seriously, Bud, did you spend the first few months of your life in a pouch? I need...
All right,
I don't know who taught him those habits, Phil, but if I were you, I'd get him to unlearn them.
Wait a minute. You're asking me like it's my fault?
Well, Jesus, Henry, who the hell taught this kid?
Kids always doing stuff like that.
Exactly. If you know Bud, you're not going to give him a credit card and tell him to go get chocolates for somebody because he's going to take them over to those people and about just as we saw happen. He's going to have five or six of those already eaten. And one half of a chocolate sitting there, uneaten. All right, so did we chill this out with Ted? I don't know if we chilled it out or not.
Well, it sounded to me like you apologized. And you told Ted that you didn't mean to not hear. I don't know what you said, but it sounds like it came out all right.
All right, well, I hope so. Maybe next time I will, listen a little bit more carefully. However, if just given those three, which is Morton's, Mastro's, and Ruth's Chris, then, yeah, definitely it would be Morton's on top. If I put Ted's of Beverly Hills into the mix, then definitely would be Morton's on top. I'm joking around.
Well, he's not going to find that funny.
I'm kidding. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Every time. shines, I become alive. Yeah.
All right, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Dean Wheeler joining us here from the Northern California Holistic Center to talk a little bit about this. I know, Dean, for the longest time, you have not endorsed the eating of swine for health reasons.
Well, that is exactly right, Phil. The pig is a cloven-hooved animal, and all of those animals, such as the goat, such as the pig, are very unsanitary. They lay around in their own filth. They slop in mud. They lay around and slop it up and lay in their filth.
You're talking about they're laying in their own excrement.
Yes, exactly, Margaret. And they're filthy, dirty animals. Now, what you're saying this morning, that you don't want to eat pigs because they're intelligent and because they're friendly, I've not heard that, but I certainly recognize. Well, yes, I have heard that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you haven't heard that pigs are intelligent and that they are as affectionate as dogs?
I haven't heard affectionate as dogs, but I would believe that. I would definitely believe that. But the most important reason not to eat a pig is because it's a filthy thing, and the same goes for goats. The same goes for goats. Now, I don't know how friendly goats are. The problem with a goat is that I would never have a goat as a pet, because the goat represents the satanic or the darker forces in the holistic religion that we celebrate here. That my wife Emeralda has now, Phil, entered into the third ring of her high priestess status. So we're very proud of her.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we're very, very proud of her. So she enters now Elevation 2, third ring of the high priestess status. And Kong is pleased. By the way, can I ask you where Dr. Elcott is speaking next? Because I want to have a couple of chats with him. I've hooked up with him.
Now, I will tell you that Dr. Elcott, I think, is going to be here in California in August. He'll be speaking at the, this is called the Kong Academy.
Yeah, but it's spelled C-O-N-G.
They're talking about King Kong, sure.
No, it's not King Kong. I thought I explained this, Phil, to the staff there.
Yeah, Bud, please don't laugh at what Dean is saying. This is very important. This is the really, the discipline of Kong, which is a different religion from Elcott, the Next Step.
Oh, it's completely different. Elcott, the Next Step is I would call it almost a ufology religion.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. And because of that, I think it lacks a legitimacy that the world of Kong, which is our Wiccan belief, has. And Emeralda could explain all of this much, much better. But I need to go to talk to Dr. Elcott because we're coming up on the summer solstice, we're coming up on the fall solstice in September, and we're heading toward a collision of these two religions. I don't want to say it could be ugly.
Well, what does that mean?
Are you talking about violence?
I am saying that we are heading for a high point of disunion. We are heading for a static level. Elcott, the Next Step, and the wonderful world of Kong, the two are not in transition.
You got to speak some English. What does that mean?
It means it could get violent, yes.
Oh, my God.
So where is this? Well, I don't understand. Are the two religions going to be celebrating?
We could very well find ourselves in the same space and time, yes, because we are going to be in Mill Valley, and we are going to be entering into, on the fall solstice, the Mill Valley Civic Center, and that's where we will be entering into, and that's when Emeralda will be rising to her third ring, and it should be a very festive day. But if the people from Elcott, the Next Step, decide to hold theirs at the Holiday Inn, we're going to have a problem, and it could spill out into the parking lot.
All right, I don't know what any of this means. I'm sure that you can avoid this. I'm sure that in your conversations with Dr. Elcott, you can avoid this. Are you going to be doing the talking?
No, it'll be Emeralda and Dr. Elcott will be talking and will be charting what could be a course keeping the two sides apart.
The wonderful world of Kong, you have to remember, Phil, is ancient. It's an ancient religion.
I've never heard of the wonderful world of Kong, and this is the religion that you and your wife practice.
Yeah, that's right, Phil, and because you've never heard of it, it does not mean it has not been around for a long time.
Listen, Dean, I understand what you're saying, and I think Phil is simply saying what a lot of people might, which is they've not heard of the wonderful world of Kong. It is Wiccan. It is a part of the Northern California Holistic Center. We did have Dean on to talk about the eating of pork. I did not know that the wonderful world of Kong allows it. So this prohibition is one that is practiced only by you.
Well, what the wonderful world of Kong doesn't allow is the eating of goat, because goat is the universal symbol of he who would destroy.
You're talking about Satan.
Okay, in my religion, in the wonderful world of Kong, we don't mention the unmentionable. Simply, he who would pervert. That's all we say.
So the word Satan or devil?
Again, in my religion, the wonderful world of Kong.
Yeah, no, I get it. You don't say Satan or devil.
All right, I have to start again. In my religion, the wonderful world of Kong.
We understand.
I have to start again. In my religion...
You know, every time I interrupt you, and the same thing with Elcott, if he gets interrupted, he has to start again.
Yes, our religion sprung from the same wisdom font. Our religions both sprung from the same font, from the oracle, which was given to the world in the pre-dawn of the 19th century, using your times, using your calendar. It was in 1817 in Urbana, Illinois. The font, the oracle, gave us the originations, but we split apart and could never be rejoined, let no man put us under.
All right, I don't understand any of that, but you guys can't be interrupted.
Okay, here we go again. In the early part of the 19th century...
Look, Dean, we are not trying to disrespect you. We're trying to get through this interview in as quick a time as we possibly can and learn as much as we can. So please forgive us if we interrupt you.
All right, I have to start again. In the early...
All right, I have to start again, and I'm hanging up on your dumbass. How about that?
Jesus, Phil.
Well, that pisses me off.
Yeah, but the guy's religion. Gotta respect the religion.
Phil, I was working it out with him.
No, you weren't. You were not working it out with him. You tried to work it out with him, and he said,
"Oh, okay, I have to start again."
Have fun with your religion, Dean. You know, have fun with people interrupting you and you starting all over again. And then when you get together with Dr. Elcott, I hope and pray that when your two religions meet on the fall solstice up there at the Mill Valley Civic Center and the Holiday Inn that's next door.
Well, why do you find that funny?
I just think for a couple of religions that are so spiritual, the Holiday Inn and the Mill Valley Civic Center sounds pretty funny.
No, they got seating.
Yeah, well, they have enough seating and they have catering.
Oh, well, isn't that great? They have enough seating and they have catering. And what if they cater in some pork sandwiches? What's going to happen?
Why are you so contrary this morning? I'm sure that All Hail Elcott will provide for all.
Well, that's All Hail Elcott. What about the Oracle? Or
not at the Foracle.
Yeah, I know. The font or the oracle of Urbana, Illinois. Is that going to provide?
Well, that's a very good question. You could get him back on the line if you want. I can't call him back.
No, you can't call him back because he's going to want to go back again.
Let me just try.
There may be some workaround. If you hang up on him and then call him back, maybe he doesn't have to start again.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, Dean? Or, I mean, Mr. Wheeler? It's Bud Dickman. Yeah. Well, we didn't mean to do it. Want to find out about if the Oracle of the Urbana, Illinois? Okay. Yeah, he's on right now.
Dean?
Yes, Dean Wheeler.
I'm sorry, Dean. I had no idea that I was running afoul of your religion. I was trying to figure out how the... All right.
Hold on, Phil. I'm just running a little bit more hot water. I'm sitting in a bath right now. This is a renutritioning bath, so there are chemicals and minerals. It's not a bubble bath. I want everyone out there to know that I'm not sitting in a bubble bath whiling away the morning while the rest of the world is working very hard. My wife, Emeralda, of course, is at her job at the salon, but I am renutritioning today, and my wife, Emeralda, said she understands that it's all right.
Now, you, for a living, how do you make your money?
How I I make my money is through the sale of our books. It's also through our resort, our man camp. We have our Northern California Holistic Center adult resort. We have our spas, and of course we do have man camp, and through the sale of our publications. That's how I make my money. My wife, Emeralda, is employed at a hair salon in Concord, and she does most of the cleaning up. She sweeps it out.
Well, why is your wife sweeping out a hair salon and you have all of this money coming in?
You may not ask that question. You may not ask that question. That is beside the point. That's what I do. That's what she does.
Is she doing that because she wants to do it?
Again, Phil, I ask you not to ask that question.
Why can't we ask? Let me tell you something, Wheeler. I'm losing patience with you now. I'll come through the phone on you. And, friend, you would not have had a bad day until you have a bad day courtesy of General Galen Winston Shaw, I can assure you.
I'm simply saying, General, that I've had to funnel into that statement, which is you may not ask about my wife. She sweeps out a salon in Concord. Because at one time, I abused my wife. At one time, I was guilty of spousal abuse, violent spousal abuse, and I turned her out as a whore to help pay for my heroin addiction. Through my therapy, through finding the wonderful world of Kong, and through reinvigorating and renutritioning my skin, I recognized that I cannot be violent toward my wife anymore, but I do have to channel that aggression.
And so channeling that aggression means you forced her to work in a salon, sweeping it out.
Yes, that's the only way that it will be satisfying, both for myself and for the corpulence. Myself and that which surrounds myself, which is my flesh and blood body.
Ah, yes. Well...
Okay, you know, Phil, I'm trying to be as literate as I can, and you go with the, okay... I can tell when you're being sarcastic.
Well, you can tell when I'm being sarcastic. That's good, because what you're laying on me is some kind of a flim-flam, man. I don't buy it.
A flim-flam?
Yes, a flim-flam. Talking to me about how you used to beat your wife up. I understand. Nobody lies about that. But now you're able to channel that aggression by forcing her to work in a salon and sweeping it out. And meanwhile, you're renutritioning your skin. We came on here to find out about the eating of pork. You guys eat pork in that religion, right?
Yes, we eat pork in that religion. You know, you're very aggressive when you ask questions.
Well, you know, welcome to the world. This is the world that I live in, Dean.
Well, you have my sympathies. I'm renutritioning my skin. I'm trying to get ready so that when Emeralda comes home, we can begin the process whereby she does move through ring number four.
Good. I hope she gets through ring number four and all the other rings. But you are telling me that you're forcing this woman to drive all the way to Concord, man. From where you guys live, to sweep out a salon.
It's either that or I beat the living hell out of her, okay?
Oh, my God.
That's right, Margaret, but Phil, you forced me into it. It's either that or I smack her around and throw her out a window here. And you know what? We're on the side of a cliff, that's right. We're in a house that's on stilts, that's right. And the last thing to feel the plummet all 500 feet were those squirrels that were living in that tree. Remember the squirrels that were driving me out of my mind? The squirrels that were, if you want to laugh, bud, driving me nuts?
Yeah.
Okay. I chopped down that tree. That's a 1,000-year-old old-growth oak tree. I chopped it down, and I could hear them screaming. I heard their screams. And it made me glad. Yes, that's right. It made me happy. When I heard the squirrels plummeting 500 feet to their death on the rocky bottom below, and I heard them going, ah, yeah, no. That's what I heard, Phil. I heard that, and I was happy. And I heard them, and they're saying, and then that's what happened to the walnuts, the acorn, yeah. And that's the last I heard.
Well, you do that like you really enjoy dishing out that kind of suffering.
Oh, so I'm sadistic now. Here I am trying to save my sanity, and I'm sadistic.
I would think so. You chop down a tree, 500 years old, the squirrels fall 500 feet, you can hear them screaming. What happened to the acorns? The wife is working over there at a hair salon. She's sweeping it out, and what are you doing? You're renutritioning yourself. You're sitting in a bubble bath.
That's right. You're in a bubble bath. Read it and weep, Wheeler.
I am not in a bubble bath. I told you I wasn't in a bubble bath. Stop saying that.
Well, Dean, I think if the shoe fits...
If the shoe fit, Margaret, you'd be in a pair of greasy overalls repairing some other broad's jet ski, and your name would be Billy. Ah!
Yeah, you know, that guy, there isn't anything holistic about that Jack Ball.
That guy flipped.
Flipped?
That guy sounds to me like he needs a soft room someplace. There's no question about that.
And the reference, by the way, Dean, if you are listening, the reference to Billy repairing the jet ski, I've heard a lot worse than that, okay? So don't worry about it.
What's he about to reference him, Ms. Gray?
What?
What was he referencing?
He's trying to make me out to be some diesel dyke that's out there repairing jet skis for the big dyke contingent that they're expecting this summer with their speedboats, their jet skis, their shorts, and their footballs. Excuse me.
Margaret, there's no... Nobody is dissing you.
I know that, but I'm sick and tired of that Wheeler. Wheeler's got to go. I really am... I'm beginning a campaign here for the latter part of this summer. Wheeler must go. Wheeler, just remember that Wheeler must go. Hey, Wheeler, bud.
Wheeler must go, yeah. Wheeler must go.
Yes, and I think that we all... Wheeler must go. Wheeler must go, yes. General?
Well, I don't know that I want to be a part of that.
Margaret, look at Dean. We've all heard him lose his mind.
It's Wheeler must go or let no one come back alive.
Wait a minute.
No one come back alive. Wheeler must go. Yeah, Robert?
Wheeler must go. Wheeler must go.
All right, very good. Excuse me.
All right, well, I don't think Wheeler must go, but that's my opinion.
Wheeler must go.
I don't think Wheeler must go, but that's just my opinion. And I suppose that we will have to wait and see. We'll take a wait-and-see attitude, as they say. Wheeler must go. I want you to take advantage of the opportunity to see our show, The World of Phil Henry, Truth is Our Bitch. It's me, it's a one-man show, and it's coming to the Irvine Improv, which is a beautiful big house there in Irvine, California, a 400-seater. Lots of opportunity for you to see the show if you got shut out the first two times. Both of our first two shows were sellouts. We expect this one will be too, and so there's no time like the present. Pick up a pair of tickets, or one, or ten, however many you think you'll need. Buy ten and only use one. Yeah, but... I'm just kidding, of course. Buy 10 and sell the rest to your friends. I don't know. Don't scalp them. I don't want to run afoul of the law. We run afoul of the law enough on stage. But anyway...
Oh, he's kidding.
Yeah, I'm actually kidding, but not by much. So come on out and see us. It's September the 11th at the Irvine Improv for the World of Phil Henry, Truth is Our Bitch. It's a night of me going in and out of character, in and out of situations, in and out... Well, that's about all of that that I want to talk about.
Yeah, I think you're wandering into some dangerous territory there.
Anyway, the world of... Thank you, General. The World of Phil Henry. Truth is Our Bitch. September 11th, the Irvine Improv. It'll be epic, record-setting. Oh, yeah. Pussy, a hitting the switch. You ain't a hitting bitches off of the grip, you punk bitch. Bitch,
all my real dogs still kicking with me. All my down hoes still tripping with me. All the true gangsters know they ain't never loved no gold. All the hood rats still shaking for me. All my true fans still checking for me. All the real smokers know they ain't passing nothing but dope and D. Real trees, chronically.
We should be rolling right now, which Sean always says to me, well, go ahead and start talking and I'll edit it. And you edit it good, don't you, Sean, or do you edit good? Do you get assistance in editing it?
I do it all myself.
See, that disturbs me. I'm just quoting John Huston in Chinatown. That disturbs me, Mr. Gitz. Did you see that movie? Dr. Drew Pinsky is with me. I'm trying to be very nonchalant, and I'm actually just... shaking.
Well, Bobby, it's a pleasure. It really is.
Dr. Drew, how many people do you think you've helped? I know it's a tough question. You've talked to millions.
I'll tell you what I do.
100? Maybe 150?
Maybe.
I'm joking.
I know.
Just getting the measure of the man here.
What I always say is, at the hospital, we admit about two people a day, and that times 365, times 20 years, that's how many drug addicts I helped.
I think it's great work.
Thank you.
And I want you to know something.
Yes,
I've stayed loyal to you even through that whole
Dr. Phil McGraw nonsense that I don't say nonsense, and I know that you're co-professionals. I guess he's a doctor. Is he a real one?
He's a psychologist, but he doesn't have a license anymore.
Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
They
de-louse him.
Was he deloused, or is that
De-licensed?
De-licensed. What is de-lousing?
Lost the license. De-lousing is something that we do at the county hospital. People come in with lice.
Oh my God, Steve.
I don't know about de-louse.
So why did they de-license Dr. Phil?
I don't know. It's funny.
We can speculate. That would be fascinating, wouldn't it?
Well, it might. I'd hate to speculate. But I saw something about E! True Hollywood Stories where they said it had something to do with some sexual misconduct with a staff member. And then I looked on Wikipedia,
God.
And that all that seems to be not really clearly an issue at all. So
yeah,
I don't know.
They had it scrubbed. They scrubbed it.
Can you scrub Wikipedia? Can you do that?
Well, I don't know.
Do you have Wikipedia?
Do I have Wikipedia at my house?
No. I mean, if I look up Bobby, would I find a Wikipedia on you?
Oh, I don't know. Sean Merrick, who is our engineer.
Sean, you just set up a Wikipedia if you shouldn't have one.
Have you set up a Wikipedia for me?
Not yet.
Or do they do that? Or how do you do that? I don't know.
I bet you there is one. I bet if you looked your name up, I bet you'd have one.
I hope it's correct. I know a lot of it. They'll say, if they have the Jay Moore incident, Jay Moore and I are very good friends. I went to Oakland with Jay.
You went to Oakland with
him? Yeah, the only memory I have of it is one... thigh, a man's hairy thigh in a motel.
Jay's?
No, it was black.
Oh.
A black man's thigh. But Jay was there because I heard laughter, and also my face was shoved into the vinyl of the backseat of a cab.
Weird, huh?
Very strange.
What, had you drunk too?
Oh, God, Bobby.
Steve, why don't you keep it? Excuse my husband, Dr. Drew. Are you insecure because Dr. Drew is here? An educated man, an accomplished man? You are too, honey. I love you.
I know, but, you know, Dr. Drew, you...
Well, thanks, Steve. Are you concerned that something happened to her in the back of that cab?
Well, I just don't know about Jay Moore, because then he goes...
Well, Jay's a good guy. Jay's a good guy. I don't know who the other guy was, though.
Jay Moore. The other guy was, I think, a man who is an assistant or the coach of the Oakland Raiders, or maybe a wide receiver. He was either Jay's assistant or a wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens.
Bobby, do you understand that Steve could be a little freaked out by that?
Honey, nothing happened that I remember. Okay.
All right. Well, that's good enough.
See,
he's a good. Well, your husband's very flexible.
Oh, my husband and I. We've been married for how long have you been married, honey?
21 or 19 years.
21 or 19 years.
Can you explain the difference? Why 21 or 19?
2 years.
No. I mean,
wow.
Why?
Get a load
no,
of
I. You, good. Good job,
well, Dr. Drew, you're a wonderful man, but. You're not a scientist.
Not a mathematician.
So, hence, you don't know how to add.
But 19 or 21.
Oh, I'm sorry. You mean that? Yes.
Yes.
Because we're not sure when we conceived Dylan.
Oh.
And I'll tell you this, Dr. Drew. Dylan, we're afraid, might have been conceived before we were married.
Oh.
And so, but we're not, we don't remember.
Oh.
So now we've just said, well, 19 or 21.
And you guys were down in Orange County together at the
time? We were in Orange County at the time we met. And also I lived there near El Toro because my father was in the Army and he made a mistake. He went to El Toro thinking that was an Army base.
It's the Air Force base.
It's actually the Marine Naval Air Station.
Wow.
And my father said, you know something? I like it here so much. Let's just stay.
Did you stay like over towards, were you living up towards the old folks place there? The Leisure World?
Leisure World.
Were you up near that?
That was Leisure Land. Not Leisure World, but we thought of Leisure Land.
We thought of Leisure Land.
Steve, you two grew up in that area?
Well, no, I grew up in Wisconsin. My parent and my father died in prison. God, I'm really nervous.
Oh my God, Steve. Steve,
hold on. Steve, honey?
No, Dr. Drew is, I've got a lot of respect for you.
Thanks, Steve.
Everybody
All right, just sit down, honey. Steve's from Wisconsin. The family, Steve, I think you came out here as a middle schooler? A middle schooler or a junior higher, because they used to call it that.
While his dad was in prison?
His father just died 3 years ago in Stillwater Prison, Minnesota.
I've been to Stillwater. It's a nice area. I've actually
Stillwater, Minnesota.
Oh, this is a Wisconsin.
Across
state,
the St. Croix River.
Oh, yes, yes.
There's a wonderful lunch place there. Well, I don't want to, you know, but actually Hudson, Wisconsin's where the lunch place is. Stillwater's up the river. But Steve grew up where, honey? Never mind. Well, he grew up in Madison.
Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah, and his mother is still alive.
Why was the dad in prison?
Steve, your father was in prison for armed assault. It was bank robbery.
Huh?
Yeah, and they had an armed shootout. Oh, God, it was on the news. I don't know if you saw it. It was an armed shootout with Wisconsin State Police and with the local, as Steve says, with the Madison Heat. You know, his father was driving a van.
It's intense.
And they had a shootout.
Oh, my
God. His father was shot and wounded.
Oh,
and if you watch the video, Sean, have you seen the video of this? Sean's seen it.
Where?
He says, I'm injured. And the officer says, I don't care. Let me see your hands. And so his mother sued the Wisconsin State Police.
Wow.
And didn't win.
Oh.
And I went, oh, my God. Are you kidding? Here's a man who's shot up.
Yeah, my father got shot and everything.
Steve, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's okay, but...
And then he spent the rest of his life in jail after that?
Yeah, he died in prison in Stillwater Prison. Steve's mother is still alive, Dr. Drew, and this is very interesting. She, because I don't really care about his father because I never met him. I should have gone to prison to meet him, but the days that we were going to go there, I think they were having the cheese festivals and things, so we never did get over there. Is that bad? You're looking at me like, what a heartless.
Well, I had two
what a
thoughts.
Thing you, what a thing
no,
you
No, I had
are.
Two thoughts. No, no, no. I thought, well, the cheese took priority over the dad. That's sad. It's
for
sad.
Me.
It's just
Steve
sad.
Said, I have to go see my father. I said, well, you go ahead because the Havarti is coming out.
It is pretty good.
Oh, God. With Dill?
But I want to know about the mom.
Yeah. Steve's mother, Dr. Drew, I'll be up and I'll be adding something on Facebook and I'll see a message come in. From Patty.
Patty's mom is
Steve's mother. Hi, I see you're up late. What are you doing up late? Don't the boys have school? It's this kind of thing, you know.
God, Bobby, it's just my mother.
I'm talking to Dr. Drew.
And Bobby, I'm sorry. I know about Dylan. The other boys?
Dylan, Seth, and Justin, all born 2 years apart. Uh-huh. Dylan's 17. He's our senior.
Uh-huh.
And Seth is our 15-year-old. He's our sophomore.
And you guys are still in Orange County?
And we are in, no, we're up in... we live in Western Estates, California. It's near West Hills. We live at the Western...
Oh, the Valley.
I was suddenly discombobulated. You said Orange County, and I was, oh.
Well, I spent dizzy. A lot... You know, my wife's from Orange County. She's from Newport. I spent a lot of time...
Bless your heart,
County.
Honey.
I spent a lot of time in Orange County myself. I was a lifeguard in Laguna Beach, way back.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, best job I ever had.
Well, we were from Seal Beach, but we settled in Laguna.
And Seal Beach... You'll excuse me, back then was quiet and beautiful. And,
very quiet, yeah. Very lovely, yeah. And very, well, let's be honest, it was working class.
Working class who ended up with beachfront property and did very well as a result.
But the kids that I knew at that time, their mothers were all divorced. And there was a lot of amphetamines. Not that I used it, but Steve did. And I'm not talking out of school, honey.
Well, I mean, God, thanks a lot.
Well, we have the boys.
Well, Steve, let me talk to Steve.
Steve was shooting up Darvon, what I meant. Go ahead.
Steve, you have a history of addiction, dude.
No, not so you notice.
No, listen.
I got into Jesus and I put it down.
So you
I take one gospel pill every day. Oh, God, look at, he's laughing and everything. Not anymore.
Sean was laughing?
Sean was. I used to smoke.
What are you laughing at, Sean? It's a serious deal.
Steve's not, you're not a Christian per se anymore, although he listens to Demon Hunter and Attila, and those are both Christian metal bands. But
oh, that's nice.
They're like Christian core or whatever. But you don't listen to that, Steve.
I still listen to Depeche Mode and Duran Duran.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But 80s, the Wolf.
No, 80s
I
guy.
I love it so deeply.
But Bobby, when he was using, was that tough for you? Or were you involved with him?
Oh,
then,
no,
or?
It was exciting. Oh, my God. When I met Steve, here was this strapping, good-looking beach guy. And he says, does anyone want to buy a fake ID? I go around the corner.
So that's how you met him. I met him,
and there he was doing. He was crushing up Darvon into a spoon.
Did Steve?
And I know that's bad now, but when you're a 16, 17... 25, I forget how old, 31-year-old woman. No, I was 17. You think it's Hollywood.
It seems cool.
Look, here's a guy. Yeah, here's a junkie. Wow, you know.
That's not so cool.
Is it Jim Morrison? Is it who?
I see. You're way back.
Is it one of the Jonas Brothers?
Well, to be fair, back in, when was that? Like the 80s or the 70s?
In the 80s, yeah.
Because the 70s, a lot of shit was glorified. You know, a lot of terrible stuff.
They tell me that. My mother and father, with my father being a military guy, said all of the hippies were scum and this kind of
thing.
Well,
it's not so much that as that things that were not so healthy, were people didn't really realize how bad they were back then yet.
Well, I think so. And that's why we're very, you know, Dr. Drew, I'm so grateful you're listening to me. Usually I do the interview and stuff.
Yeah, Bobby always interview, but you're
interviewing. Well, no, please, so nice. Am I making you uncomfortable?
No,
interview?
I just have lots of questions for you.
I'm fascinated by you and Steve. You're interesting people.
But you're sizing me up.
Well, see, I'm enjoying you.
Well, get a load of that, Steve. He's enjoying me.
Well, it's not a sexual thing.
And Steve, I'm enjoying Steve. Is. I'm enjoying you too, dude.
Okay. Well.
Yeah. I mean, not. It's not sexual. Gay or anything not, like no, that. No. No. No.
Dr. Drew has a very lovely wife. What is your name, dear?
Susan.
Susan, I know. I know Phil met you. Look at my finger went back almost up my nostril. Did you see that? I was pointing back towards Sean. You didn't see. Sean didn't see.
Come on, Bobby. Get past it.
I'm going to say it. Get past. This is a big moment. I went and then Sean and my nose flipped back. My finger went back up like that.
It's still there again. It's there again.
I mean, Dr. Drew, his time is money and everything.
No. Dr. Drew. No, my time is yours.
Oh, God. So anyway, Dr. Drew, I'm very much about being a mother.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I'm very much being about the Homeowners Association president. We have at our home, we have a gated community. We have 40 beautiful homes and our Homeowners Association.
In West Hills.
In West Hills. And we want the kids, we're our own elementary school, our own high school, and we want the kids to be safe, you know?
Sure.
I allow myself to drive an SUV, but I don't allow any of the mothers.
Why?
They're big, they're cumbersome.
Gas guzzling.
They're gas guzzling. You can run a child over and not know it for days.
So let me understand. So as a result of you being the Homeowners Association president,
yes.
You can determine what vehicles people drive around your community?
Yeah, I'm a real breakout kind of person that way, Dr. Drew.
Good for you.
Well, thank you. Yeah. See, Steve, you see?
Well, a lot of people don't agree on that.
No, but do you see? I like to go my own way, Dr. Drew, as I'm sure you do.
I get that about
you. You're someone who's successful, and I think you are successful because you said, you know what? You know, let me just say, you know, this sucks. I'm going to go over here instead of down there. And that's what I did. I went up there instead of way down there other kids went, you know? And I said, let's move up to West Hills. And
so things were starting to spiral out in Orange County for you.
I think for Steve, we got married, right. And my father, being in the military, said, you want to marry him, then you had better get him into some kind of treatment.
Oh, good.
And then I want to look at him.
Good for your dad. I mean, that's good. Mm-hmm.
And then I want to size him up, get him back into treatment, get him out again. Let's take a look at him again. If I'm not happy, stick him back in there. So Steve had his blood recycled, I don't know, 5-6 times.
Oh, that's...
And how, right, Steve?
Yeah, well, I mean, her father was telling me about what a douchebag I was, I'm nervous.
Steve, do you still have a relationship with her dad? Oh, her dad's
still alive, yeah.
Do you still have a better relationship with him now that you're all cleaned up?
Yeah, he checks in with me, like, on Fridays, asks about Bobby, asks about where they are. He wants to hear all their voices. And once he's satisfied that they're still, I don't know why,
my dad will call and say, hi, honey. And then he wants to hear my voice, Dylan, Seth, and Justin.
Where does he live now, Dad?
Dad's still down in El Toro with Mom.
Still in El Toro. They closed down the base, though,
they
right?
They closed the base down, but Dad loves it because he loves the whole... He's always making the joke, I live down at the Y. Ha, ha, ha.
The El Toro Y.
Yeah, the Y. I said, where are you eating tonight, Dad? Oh, down at the Y. Ha, ha.
I wonder what it'd be...
you know, and I'm like, whatever.
It is funny.
Yeah.
Except for the rest of people around the country, it's a freeway overpass.
The 405 and
yeah,
the 5, yes.
It's a crazy thing. And he eats there? There's like a mall there now,
there's
right?
There's a mall there now.
Yeah, right.
And Dad and Mom, Daddy and Mommy, they love to eat down at where there was a Schutner's, and then there was a El Capitan. I think there's a Chulo's there now, and an Island's.
Of course.
Do you love the Islands?
Well, I saw this one outside this building, too. I noticed
that. I saw one over here, yeah.
Yep, there's one outside.
And then the one we love, it's Claim Jumpers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I love Claim Jumpers.
Yeah, they've got those never-ending drinks.
But Steve and I like, Steve and I like to go, we do it upscale. We'll go down to the beach.
Which beach?
We'll go to Newport Beach.
Of course, of course.
And we'll eat at any one of a number of wonderful places down there. You know, we like to go to Surf and Sand.
Remember the Red Onion down there on the peninsula?
The Red Onion is so much fun. It was wonderful, but Steve, as long as my father can hear our voices, then he'll say, I don't know why, but Steve makes a joke. He said, to make sure you weren't buried in several different shopping bags somewhere around. Do you think that's what that is?
Oh, my God. You think your father still believes that? I mean, he used to think, you know, if you ever dismember my daughter, have a care.
Have a care?
Yeah. Well,
like, take care of yourself.
Well, yeah, he'd come after Steve with all... the safety's off.
Well, it's nice to know that he cares about
his
family.
My father loves us very much.
Yeah,
my father was very protective.
And maybe it helps Steve stay sober. And it'll give him a little motivation.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Right?
Well, Steve's scared to death of my father. Yeah.
That's not a bad thing.
And they went golfing one time. And my father
Pelican
didn't
Hill?
Say anything to Steve, right, Steve? And you thought it was a great day?
It was a wonderful day. It was so much
just
fun.
Just by not speaking.
He never said anything. I didn't expect him to. And then he...
Well, you don't seem like a man of a lot of words either. So you
well,
probably liked
I talked to him, but he kept saying... Just doing that, and then he'd point to his golf bag and my golf bag and then the trunk of his car, and I got him, put him in. We sat down, and he held up two fingers to the bartender, two beers. We drank about six of those, or seven, I forget, and he grabbed me by the collar at that time.
You were really drunk, right?
Yeah, and he just dragged me to his car, put me in the trunk.
Oh.
And later on, I asked, how come the trunk? And through Bobby, he said, through it, you.
Yeah, he said, through me to Steve. That's what they do to Indians in Canada. Ha, ha, ha.
Well, Steve, I'm a little concerned about the drinking. That's my big. How
well,
long ago was
that? That was Bobby's dad. I know,
but you know.
Wow, that's right, because of the substance abuse.
You could re-trigger you. Yeah, Bobby, you got to really like, watch that.
Oh, he's not allowed to drink either.
No substances.
Well,
no.
Steve, why do you say that it's okay?
Because there was a couple of guys who did.
No, and Steve, I understand with working with. Her dad, he's a pretty intimidating dude, and if he says drink a beer, and by the way, Bobby, your dad's got to understand that Steve cannot use substances. Just
well, my
no
father
go.
Is old school. He's old school army.
No, I get that. I get it.
Vietnam, and they drank a lot of beer over there.
They did a lot of stuff,
and they would say things like "Let's get upwind" and "Let's get nice" when they were out on patrol. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either.
Yeah, I don't either. They'd be out on patrol, and they'd say, "Well, it's time to get upwind and get nice." They blast up a big fat joint and then open up on a sandpan.
God damn, Bobby.
Well, I don't know. That's what he said.
That's what we theorized. That's what he would say. Oh, my God.
They were up. He said one time a friend of his was up in a, what do you call the jet? The F1 or something.
Back then,
angry. They were looking for a down pilot. Couldn't find him. So they were going back to base, looked down, saw a string of sandpans, went ahead and...
Strafed it.
Did the napalm.
Oh,
yeah. And I said, is that a true story? He said, no, but wouldn't that be funny? Ha, ha, ha.
Wow, your dad.
So my father has all those stories.
He's God, you think any of those are true? I don't think
me, or are you asking Bobby?
I'm asking you. I don't know.
Dr. Drew.
I'm sorry.
I don't know if they're true, but they...
I don't think... That's war crimes. Isn't that the war crimes?
Let's put it this way. I hope they're not true.
I don't think so. My father's
and your dad's got a very interesting sense of humor.
Oh, he's a very... he's hysterical. He's hysterical.
I can see that.
One time we were watching television, Dr. Drew, and it was the War of the World. And it was Tom Hanks or someone running away. And then comes the Martian ship, and it zapped a lady into, like, globules of blood and flesh.
Oof.
And my father's like, ah, ha, 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 ha. But you don't get that?
No, it's hysterical.
Yeah. Well, oh, I can, okay.
He
sorry.
Sounds hysterical.
Well, that's what I thought it was. That's what I thought that's what he wanted me to laugh at. So I did. I'm very uncomfortable now. Dr. Drew looked at me as if I belong in one of his clinics.
No, I would.
Bobby, you blew it. God, you blew it.
Shut up, Steve.
No, I'm only kidding,
Dr. Drew. He didn't do that at all.
No, Steve, I'm fine. Relax, Steve.
Dr. Steve,
I'm cool. No, it's all good. No, Bobby. Something just occurred to me while you were describing that story, your dad. And you've had these interesting men in your life.
Is my father, do you think he's insane? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know your dad.
Oh my God, I'm on the radio right now.
But here's what I would like to talk about.
Yeah.
Is you've had all these interesting male figures in your life. What do you want your sons to grow up to be?
Oh, I want my sons to grow up to be just like dad. And by that, and also Steve. Steve's hardworking, very committed. My father, very patriotic and hardworking and very committed. Both of them. Steve had his substance abuse. My father has his beers. Well, I think my boys, so you didn't hear what I said.
Not really.
I'd like my boys to be just like their father and their grandfather.
Got
both
it.
Men who are
but not substance
sober
users.
Men. No, neither one of them use anymore. I mean, long time. They're both good men and sober men.
That's not what you said.
They're both sober men and good men and hardworking and patriotic and loving.
Dr. Drew, she...
Would you shut your hole, Steve, before... Something bad happens, and you know I can bring it. See, I do it all the time.
You sort of scared me, Bobby.
She hits me.
I do not.
Shh, please. You understand something. I have a, because of my license, if I hear any evidence or even suspicion of domestic violence, I have to make a report to the state. So if there's hitting, please just think about the reality that I will have to report that if I hear about that.
Well,
at this point, I'll just consider
it. If you're a friend of ours, do you have to do that?
No matter what I have to do. If there's even suspicion, I'll just consider it hyperbole, Steve, at this point.
Well, I don't know what that means.
Exaggeration. Being hysterical. She's just being hysterically funny. She's being funny.
I think what Steve meant is that I hit him where it emotionally counts. Where it counts.
So it's just emotional abuse. It's not actually physical abuse.
Oh, yeah, okay. Jesus.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's emotional abuse.
Sure, none of it's on tape either, I don't think.
Sean's so calm about this.
Doesn't care.
He's
who
chill.
Gets her. Sean, we could, you know, you could open up with a gun right now and slay us all.
Yeah.
Which would be a major headline.
Yeah.
And Sean would be there just dee-doo-doo-doo-doo.
I think you're right. He doesn't budge.
He won't. Sean's seen it all.
He's a little nervous. He's a little intimidated by you. Look at that leg bouncing around. He gets a little nervous. He's afraid you're going to.
He's nervous.
I think you can bring it, Bobby. I think you probably can bring it. And I mean that as a compliment.
You do?
Yeah.
I always thought that Sean was impatient with all the boring garbage that he listens to, and that he has the look of a man who.
Well, not on your show.
Not on my show.
No, God, no.
But
no, that's he looks forward to this all day.
He has the look of a man who has seen whole villages napalmed and. And he just, it's this stuff.
Is that what they look like?
He looks to me like a man.
Because, you know, I'm not familiar with them.
Have you counseled veterans? Because you could talk to my father. Have you?
Well, I was going to ask you. I feel guilty that I'm so curious about you. I have lots of questions.
I'm so happy that you are.
Okay.
Although a lot of people want to know about you. And have you ever, well, I guess it doesn't matter because you've got far more better questions for me.
Please.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Have you ever slapped a kid across the face, a strange kid?
No.
Just walked up to it and said, you know what? Hi, I'm Dr. Drew. Bam.
No.
No?
Never done that.
Wouldn't it be funny, though?
It would be hysterical,
oh my
to use
God.
Your word. It'd be funny.
Dr. Drew Pinsky today, and TMZ would be there, and then Harvey Levin would walk up, and you'd go, oh, hi, Harvey. Boom.
Would be funny.
That would be cool.
That's hysterical.
Oh, can I tell you something?
Yes, ma'am.
Phil Henry told me, and I better not say though, Steve, huh?
Well, don't say who.
Mr. Henry is familiar with the James Garner family.
Okay. Yes.
And they are having a hard time processing the TMZs. I hope I'm not talking out of school. How the TMZ people are down at the driveway.
Now, James Garner just passed away,
yes,
right?
Yes, he did. And he's very beloved of his family, obviously. And the TMZ people put his death certificate on their website, and they were very unhappy.
Well, I didn't see that. I'm not really familiar with this story. So
he died. Yeah, they did. And they also were at the end of the driveway going, hey, hey, hey.
Which they're always around.
Yeah.
I imagine they must hassle you a little bit. Don't they
TMZ,
come out?
Second nature to me. They're always at the gate down there.
I was
going to
say, they can't get into your community because you're so.
We don't let them in.
Right.
And they can't get into the Garner home either. But
the Garner home is the James Garner home, not his daughter, Ben Affleck, or anything like that. It's
no, this
the
is
dad.
This is the dad and the family home.
Right.
And so what do you do, like, you know, if it bothered me, which I'm not saying that it does,
right.
But if it bothered me and I wanted to strangle Harvey Levin to death, which I don't.
No, of course not.
No,
because making a threat like that would
I would never want to
problematic.
Do that. No. But if I saw Harvey Levin on the street and my instinct was to say, hi, Harvey, guess what? Special delivery. Boom, bang, boom, up, hood of car, head bouncing off. That's a violent instinct.
Yeah.
That's not, you know.
Yeah,
we would
Steve.
Never do that.
No, Steve, no. Of course not. Yeah, but
what do you say to people, the celebrity, the famous people?
Well, if I were talking to Bobby, I think you could learn about anger management. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity because,
well,
of course, you wouldn't do that
even if it's a provocation.
Yeah, you don't want to be that guy, that lady that gets into legal problems because of somebody provoking
it's
you.
It's true because that's what they're going to do.
It'd be a big headline. TMZ would be all the time at your house. And think about it. You could use the same technique in dealing with Steve, who sort of pisses you off sometimes too, right?
Yes, he does.
You know, it's about, you know.
Oh, wow. You want to bounce my head off a hood?
Yes. Listen to what Dr. Drew is saying.
Yeah, she would never do that.
No, I would never do that. My instinct is.
Right. So it's a feeling. It's just a feeling. I mean, feelings pass. Feelings wash over us and then they pass. And if it's a violent feeling, you have to be able to use the front part of your brain and go, geez, the consequences. Consequences would be terrible, even though it might be satisfying. There's other things I can do. I can distract myself. Uh-huh. I can breathe deeply. I can manage my feelings other than acting my feelings.
Like my good friend Janice Greeley. She's on the steering committee for the forthcoming fall, summer fall tack, the spring fall. I'm getting over nervous.
Well, it's
too.
All that thinking about the violence and stuff.
Janice says, "Why don't you let the TMZs in and they will interview you?" And I go, "Janice." Yeah, she thinks you're so special. You think you're so special.
Oh, Janice wants the cameras in.
I think
they'd be interested in you, Bobby.
I said, what, are you jealous?
No, they want you. They'd want you. Why would they want Janice?
And so Janice says, jealous of what? And that's when I envision in my mind's eye picking her up upside down so the skirt, excuse me for saying, drops down.
Sure.
Bounce the head twice off the hood of my Jeep.
Of course.
Which I've got two Jeeps now. And then drop her so she sits on the pavement with her legs spread like this, like a dumb Cupid doll, just going, doo. God, I'd love to do that, but I don't.
Good.
Because of the advice that Dr. Drew is. By the way, everyone, we're with Dr. Drew. I'm so thrilled. I can't even believe that you're here.
It is a privilege to be here.
And my son said, God, Mom, you're going to go interview Dr. Drew. That'd be like interviewing, it would be like interviewing Hank Hill or something, like a cartoon character.
Yeah.
And I was like, huh? But that means something to them.
Yeah, because I'm not real to them.
And you were not even real to me. And I've been around, June Lockhart and a lot of people.
Oh, I bet she was fun. I hear she's great.
She's wonderful.
Yeah.
She's a wonderful grandmother. And so, Dr. Drew, with all of the dysfunction that you deal with, whether it be with people that interview you like me, what do you think? Go ahead.
Well, I'm not seeing a lot of dysfunction here.
You're not seeing a lot of dysfunction?
No, not yet.
Violent instincts?
Well, the instincts, but you're telling me that doesn't actually happen. Mm-hmm. And so it must be uncomfortable to walk around with all those aggressive feelings. I mean,
Can I tell Dr. Drew the thing that you do that a lot of people say that...
Well, what?
The monthly nude?
We do our monthly nude walk. Here it is. Okay, let me lay it on you, okay, as the kids would say. Thank you, Steve. Okay.
Well, you got it.
I've got it from here, Steve. We do a monthly nude. We call it, it's a nude walk, or we just simply call it the nude. All of the gals in the community who work out with me and are pleasant to look at, I'm not saying it's, we do a health walk. You're looking at me like it's weird, so maybe,
Well, it sounds a little peculiar, I must admit, but it bunch of hot women walk around naked. I mean, that's kind of...
Well, we do one circle, a circuit within the gated community, nude, and we do it around 4:30, just as the sun is coming up. So if you see...
4:30 in the morning.
4:30 in the morning, but it's just as the sun is breaking over
So there's not a lot of opportunity for cameras to get in there or anything because it's dark.
Not at all, no. Yeah. And plus, we're so fit, we want people to see. This is about having the good, tight... Okay, well, the bun.
You put all that work into it, and you want somebody to appreciate it.
And what we're trying to do is inspire all of the other homeowners, people. And as the sun breaks over the hedge, somebody said our rear ends turn orange from the color of the sun.
The dawn.
I like the way you said that.
The dawning of buns.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's cute, but I don't know. But anyway, Steve's got a real issue with that.
Well, I just think that when you see my wife's butt, and it's orange.
Yeah,
it could frighten a dog, a cat.
But Steve, it's within your little private community at least.
Yeah,
so,
okay,
yeah.
That's what Bobby keeps saying.
Yeah,
but Steve keeps telling me, and his mother on Facebook. So, are you going to do your monthly exhibitionism? And I said, how dare you? We go back and forth like that at night. It's only 4 a.m. when I talk to her. 3:34, she's up, I'm up, and she's I see the kids look undernourished. I see that you're still dressing.
It's very disparaging.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And she sits with her Pall Mall straights and her
Can you still
pink
get
slacks.
Pall Malls?
I don't know.
Kind of clever.
Well, Wisconsin is an Indian-run state. I don't know if you know that.
Yes, of course. Yes, lots
and the
of
Indians run it.
What is that Indian tribe up there? It's the...
What is it, Steve?
Oh, it's the Aloysius.
Oh, Aloysius tribe.
Yeah, and
no, the
Algonquin.
The Round Table Algonquin.
Algonquin, huh.
And they... Dorothy Parker was
she was an Algonquin.
Wasn't she?
Well, there's something about the Algonquin in her, yeah.
Yeah, and so they run the whole state on account of they have the no taxes on cigarettes, and the white people are not allowed to bet in the casinos unless they lose. You don't know about that, Dr. Drew?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, Dr. Drew, you ought to look into it, and then you wouldn't be so hard on whites. Well, not that you are or anything.
Well, no, Steve and I see you. Oh, I bumped it, Sean. Time out, time out. I bumped it. What do we do? Do we roll back? I have to roll back.
Okay.
Hold on for a minute. 3, 2, 1. Blast off. And yeah, so, oh, I forgot what I was saying.
I guess
Let's do it again. Oh, I hit it again.